Okay, today's daf is Nida daf Nun Hey. We are holding on daf Nun Dalid. No, we are holding on Nun Hey Amud Aleph at the very top. We're at three lines in. I'm so used to going back. We're on Nun Hey Amud Aleph. So we started the seventh parak of Maseches Nida yesterday, and the Mishnah had said that Dam Nida Basar Ameis are Metame both when they are Lach and when they are Yavish. But Rabbi Yossi disagreed in regards to Basar Ameis. He thought Basar Ameis is only Metame Lach. It's not Metame Yavish. But what everyone agreed upon is that Zov Nia. Rok, Sheretz, Nevela, Shechvazera, all of these various types of items that are Tame are Mitame Lach, but they are not Mitame Yavish. Once they are dried out, they are unable to be Mitame. So it says Gemara, Basar Ameis. That's our fourth line. Basar Ameis. Minalan, how do I know that Basar Ameis is Mitame Lach and Mitame Yavesh? So Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Kra, Lekol Tumaso. Pasuk says, Lekol Tumaso, and we darshan, Lekol Tumas, Aparshos Mimenu, that the Tumah is going to be there no matter what condition it's in when it's Parish from the person. As Rashi says, Loshna Lach, Loshna Yavesh. Doesn't matter whether it's moist or dry, in any condition whatsoever. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Obe Etzem Adam, Obe Kever. That, no, we learned it from a different Drasha. The Pasuk says, that Ove Etzem Adam Ove Kaver. So we darshin Adam Dum Yuda Etzem, that the tumah of an Adam, of the basar of an Adam, is similar to the tumah of a bone. Ma Etzem Yavesh, just like a bone by definition is dry. Afkan Yavesh, so too basar min ameis is going to be tamei even if it's dry. So these are two possible drashas. Ma binai lumay nafkamina, whether we learn it from Lekol Tumaso to tell me that anything that's poresh in any condition whatsoever, or whether you learn it from bones, from etzem, the nafkamina would be if it's brittle, that it falls apart already, that it's so dry that it falls apart. So says Rashi, sheyavish yoser midai l'Rabbi Yochanan tahar didum yuda etzem bina. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who learns from bones, well, bones ve'etzem lo mifrach, bones don't fall apart, they don't just disintegrate, and therefore this would be drier than bones and would not be tame. But according to Reish Lakish, who learned from l'chol t'maso, in any condition whatsoever, so any condition is mamish, any condition, therefore it would be it would still be tameh. So frakting mar meisve basar meis hufrach tahar, it says beferish that basar meis, that's hufrach, and hufrach doesn't just mean dry, we just said it's where it disintegrates, so we say that that's tahar. So isn't that a problem? We just said that according to Reish Lakish, lekol tumaso, that in any condition whatsoever, even if it's hufrach, it's going to be tamei. And says the Gemara, pasam de ikmach v'havi afra. No, when we say hufrach tahar, that means it's beyond the point where it's brittle. It's to the point where it literally becomes like dust. It becomes like flour. It's so it could be so finely ground. Now Tosos points out, meisei basar meshufrach tahar v'im tamer lemer Rabbi Yosi damer masnisin basar sheyavish tahar. Why don't we just say, to answer this question, that maybe this brisa reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yosi, who holds that dried out basar is tahar, meaning, yeah, maybe in achinami there is such a concept in Tanaim that if it's dried out basar, it's going to be tahar. But that doesn't necessarily contradict Reish Lakish, who says that in any condition it's going to be tamei. Reish Lakish was explaining the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi disagreed in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi said that when it's dried out, it's tahar. So Tosfos and Mitari, it's all in the language. V'yishlomer delo asik Rabbi Yossi midiktani hufrach. From the fact that Rabbi Yossi uses the terminology of basar ameis yavesh, dried out basar ameis, that it's going to be tahar, and the brisa does not use the term yavesh, uses the term hufrach, implies that we're not working with shitas Rabbi Yossi, that the reason it's tahar is not because we held like shitas Rabbi Yossi. If it were because we held like shitas Rabbi Yossi, we'd use the same language as Rabbi Yossi. Hufrach implies a drier level, and why would you need a drier level according to Rabbi Yossi? It must be that we're going even within the Tanakama, and there is some level of dryness that would actually make it tahar. Meisve asked the Gemara further, kol sheb meis metameh chutz min hashinayim, that's the important one, vaser vatziporen, any part of a dead body is tameh except for teeth, hair, and fingernails. But teeth is what's critical to us, that teeth of a mace apparently are not going to be tamei. Ubishas chibur and akol tamei. But if it's still attached to the body, all of these things are going to be tamei. So what's our kasha? So machlokas Rashi and Tosas. Rashi says vashinayim dum yodatzim hein v'taharin v'kasha l'tzarvayu. Shinayim are like bones, and yet we find that they're tahar. So it's a kasha on both sheets. If you say like Rish Lakish that anything in any condition that comes from mimeis is supposed to be tamei, well, teeth are something that comes from mimeis. Why aren't they tamei? And if you say like Rabbi Yochanan that it's a din in being like bones, well, teeth are bones. They're exactly like bones. And therefore, anything like bones should be tamei. Why are teeth tahar? Tosos, however, understands that it's only kasha on Reish Lakish, that this is not a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, because Tosos says that shinayim are not bechlal etzem, even though teeth technically are bones, no one considers teeth bones. No one views teeth in the same way they view bones, and therefore it's not a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. It's only kasha on Reish Lakish. Either way, we have a kasha. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Abba Bar Rava, dum yoda etzem. Now, the only time something is going to be tamei by virtue of its similarity to bones is only when it's very similar to other bones. Ma etzem shenivra imo, avkol shenivra imo. A baby is born, has all these bones. So most atzamos, we assume that the baby is born with them. So only those types of bones that a baby is born with are going to be the types of bones that we're going to assume carry tumma. But wait a second, can you really say that? What about hair? What about fingernails? That's something that a baby is born with, and yet those things do not carry tumma. So Ella Amar Rav Abba Bar Rava, and the Rishonim point out this Ella, Tosas points out this Ella Amar Rav Abba. Normally Ella means we're backtracking on something we said earlier. This is not such an example of backtracking on something we said earlier. Rather, Mefarish Vaholich Ma'at Ma'at. We're developing a concept, and we're only halfway through developing it. So Ella Amar Rav Abba Bar Rava is saying, yes, it's true, the concept of being Nivra Imo is important in determining the Tumah status of a body part, but it's not the only factor, because Seir and Tziporin are also Nivra Imo, and yet they are not Tameh. So there must be some other factor. What's the other factor? Dumya da etzem. Ma etzem shenivra imo ve'ein gizo machlif. Avkol shenivra imo ve'ein gizo machlif. It needs two qualities. It needs to be something that it's born with and is not replaced. The body doesn't automatically replace it when you shear it off. As opposed to Yatsu Ashinayim, as opposed to teeth, Shalo Nivru Imo, which even though the baby teeth at least are Gizel Machlif, they do grow back, but it's and the adult teeth do not grow back, but nevertheless they're not born with the teeth, and therefore it's not going to carry with it the Tumah, even though it's Ein Gizel Machlif, meaning even though it does not grow back when you're talking about adult teeth. Yatsu Seravitziporen Shalpi Shenivru Imo Gizel Machlif. And Seravitziporen on the other side, even though they are born with Seravitziporen, but they do regenerate themselves, they do grow back, and therefore they're not going to be subject to tumah. In order for something to have the tumah of a mace, it has to be something that the baby is, that a human being is born with, and it has to be something that does not regenerate itself, that does not grow back. So a couple of issues over here. First of all, the issue of Rav Zilberstein has a couple in Chashuk Echemet, a couple of interesting discussions over here. One discussion he has is, what is the status of a mummy in terms of tumah? Meaning the assumption is that Kohanim are sometimes told they shouldn't go to certain museums or whatever because of mummies that may be there. So is that in fact true? Is there any problem of tumah with a mummy? So he quotes from the Mishnah LeMelech, Paragimel of Hilchos Avot Halacha Aleph, who is asked about if it's mutter for a kohen limkar mumia adam chanut to sell a mummy, and he says l'fi masha shamati mumia halazu ein ba basar klal ela atzamos va'or hachofa osam. They take out all the flesh, all it has, or the flesh, I don't know what happens to the flesh, all it has is the bones and the or. Ve'im yiveshim ma'od v'lo nishar behem lachlucha shel basar klal. They're extremely dry, there's no moisture of the meat at all. So says the Mishnah LeMelech, sha'alti im hayu atzamos elu nefrachim e'aleim alo. Do they disintegrate? Because what did we just say? That if bones are nefrachim, so then it's not like atzamos, then it's a different then it's beyond dry. Well, if basar we said is nifrach, then it's beyond dry. So he says einam nifrachim ubekoshi mishtabrim. No, they're very hard and they don't break easily. So he says ein kan makom l'savik klal depshita demetame b'mago b'masa. Etzem kesor is mitayim magal masim midin Torah, so you can't be mitayir just because it's yavesh, because the Rambam writes in Paragimel of Tumas Meis Halacha Yud, basar meish nifrach v'nasa kekemach tahar. So it sounds that as long as it doesn't become kekemach, it might be very very dry, it would not be tahar. So he just points out a very interesting thing that the Cheshek Shlomo wonders about this whole discussion about the mummies. Why do you need a svara and an analysis? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Vayihi anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam. Who are these tmeim lenefesh adam? Amar Rabbi Yosef Glili shem hayu nosei arono shel Yosef. These were the people that were carrying the aron of Yosef, and Yosef was nechnat v'yichnutu. So the pasuk says that they embalmed him, they mummified him. So the Cheshek Shlomo says he doesn't understand. If Yosef was mitame, obviously a mummy could be mitame. So what do you need to even get involved in the whole discussion? So he suggests a very alderich drush almost answer that shiny Yosef, because Gemara in Shabbos says in Kufnun Bezam and Bez that someone who doesn't have kina belibo einat smos of markivin, his bones never rot. So even if he would not have been mummified, his bones never would have rotted. So mela, it's not called that his bones are dried to the point that it would be tahar, and it wouldn't have made a difference. I mean, the whole discussion about a mummy is in a chinam. The bones aren't falling apart, but that's only because he's mummified. But had he been left otherwise, the bones would fall apart. But Yosef, we don't have such a cheshbon because his bones never would have fallen apart, and then it's vaday that he's going to be that he's going to be metame. The other issue that he deals with, another shayla that he deals with, is Rachmana Litzlan. On Shabbos once there was a terrorist attack in Eretz Yisrael, and they found next to a body that was totally deformed. The body was totally destroyed by the attack, and they couldn't identify the person based on the face, but they found a whole bunch of teeth right next to the body. So they had three shailas. Number one, can a kohen touch those teeth, or do we assume that they're tame? Number two, is there a mitzvah's kvura on the teeth that they found next to the body? And number three, if you can't identify the body except for all you day the teeth, and it's Shabbos, are you allowed to be metaltal the teeth on Shabbos to be matir the guy's wife? So he says, ilagabi the tumah, there's no shailah. So in afna gemara nidun and hayam and aleph, teeth are not metame, and therefore they're absolutely tahar. There's nothing to worry about a kohen touching the teeth. What about the second shayla? Do they require kvura? So the Gesher HaChayim, the classic sefer on Hilchos Avelus, Rabbi Chil Michal Tuchinsky writes that if the teeth fell off out of the person's mouth after he died, so then they require kvura because they're asur bana. If they fell out while he was still alive, they would not require kvura because they never became asur bana, and they're not metame like we said before. But still, he says it could be that al tzadi yoser tov, better to bury them rather than to engage in some sort of analysis. The third shaila is the most interesting. Are you allowed to be metaltal these teeth on Shabbos in order to be matir the guy's wife from being an aguna? So he says this is a sugya in Gitna in Zayinam and Beis. Gemara says there was a shchiv meira who wrote a get to his wife Erev Shabbos, and he never had a chance to give it to her before Shabbos, and it seemed clear as Shabbos was going on that he was going to die on Shabbos. He was not going to be able to give the get after Shabbos. So what's the big deal? So either way she won't be married, he'll be dead, or no, but they don't have children, and he has a brother who's not likely to participate willingly in a chalitza, or he doesn't want the wife to have to go through a chalitza, whatever the situation is. So what can you do? Is there any etza? So Gemara says, here's what you should do. He should be makner her the karka upon which the get is resting, and that way she'll be able to be kona the get with kinyan chatzer, and even though there's nisid rabbanan to make a kinyan on Shabbos, nevertheless l'tzorich igun we're going to be makel, because shchiv mera we're makel so that she shouldn't have to be tipol kama yabam, so we allow a kinyan on Shabbos mishum igun. asks the Rush over there that he quotes Rashi that a get is an Isser Tiltal b'Shabbos because it's a Mukta. I mean, why don't you just say let him give her the get on Shabbos? Why does he have to be Makne the Makom? So the Rush explains that they'd rather be Matir Kinyan b'Shabbos rather than be Matir Mukta b'Shabbos because Kinyan is a lesser Isser. We find that they were Matir Chacham were Matir Kinyan by Yishchiv Mera for a Tzava'a and therefore they were Matir for a get as well. But says the Rush, Efshar shemohaya get munach b'rushos acherim shelo haisa etz al yidei hakna'a. Maybe if they didn't have that option of being makna the makom because it wasn't in the guy's makom shoy matirin gam tiltul, then ein achinami we would have been matir muksa as well. So you see beferish that according to the Rush we would be matir muksa b'shabbos to be matir agunos. That's when it comes to muksa. Now, does this necessarily prove you could be matir other yisum drabbanan? Not necessarily. But we do find at least kinyan and at least muksa, according to the Rush, that they're willing to be matir. Okay, that's teeth-related issues. So says the Gemara now, Vaiter. We just got through saying how there are two criteria to determine whether a part of a human body is going to be metame. Number one, it has to be something the person is born with, and number two, it has to be something that's ein gizo machlif, that once it's cut off, it will not grow back. So says Gemara Vare or de gizo machlif, skin does grow back, utnana galuda rameir machshir v'cham polslin, and we learn that if a person is skinned, rameir says kasha, the cham says it's possible, afilu rabbanu lo kapasli, meaning in terms of a trefa, is it going to be have a dinner of a trefa or not? And even the rabbanan only pasla eloda dahachi v'achi shalva aviru v'mesa is only because once all the skin is cut off, the inside of the body is exposed, and therefore it's prone to infection, and the person's going to die anyway. The body's going to die anyway. Uli olam gizomachlif, but the assumption is that skin would grow back after some time. Vitaninan, and yet we say elu shorasem kibasaran or ha'adam, that or ha'adam is mitame like basar ha'adam. So wait a second, if the criteria to determine what's metame is that it has to be something A, that you're born with, and B, that will not regenerate itself, why is or metame? Or is something that does regenerate itself? Answers Gemara, Hit Marala, Amrula, Dvar Torah, or Adam Tahar. Midar Raisa, you're right. Or Adam is actually Tahar Midar Raisa. This is a din midrabanan that it's going to be tame. My time, Amru tame. Why do they say it's tame? Gzerah, Shemiyasa Adam, Oros Avivimo, Shtich Nachamar. They had to make a gzera lest the person turn the skins of his father and mother into saddle cloths for a donkey, that he's going to use it as some sort of kli to have around the house. So in order to avoid such an eventuality, they said, you know what, it's usser, you're not allowed to use the ar of an adam is tame, and it's going to cause you all sorts of problems. So that has to give you a little bit of pause. That's the gzera. That's what we're worried about. So Frektosos, we'll start with the Tosos. We'll see what other Rishonim have to say. Says Tosos, Shema Yasa Shtichin Vim Tomar Valo Meis Aser Bahana the Gamrin Yisham Shama Egla Arufa. There's already a halacha in place before the Rabban came along to protect against using skins of people, and that is the Isra Hana of a Meis. So if a Meis is Aser Bahana, why do we need to come on to this worry about the use it with this Gezera? Let's make it Tame so that people won't use the skins. Anyway, nobody's going to use the skins if they're observant of the halacha, because it's aser bana. So it says Tosfos Yeshlomer Ditumah Chamiru Lutfei Kedam Perak Beis Diyuma Lamdu Chashkash Alem Tumas Kli Yosar Mishvichus Damim. It's a famous Gemara in Yuma Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph where it talks about a situation where I think it was one of the races up the Mizbeach where two people got angry at each other and one person stabbed the other one, and he was dying on the floor of the Azara, and the father said, quick, let's get him out of here, he's going to be Metame the Kalim. And you see that he was more worried about the Tuma than he was about the death of his own child. So you see that Tuma, for whatever reason, was something that people were very hyper about, it was something that people were very sensitive about. So even though there may be a halacha d'oraisa, that you're not allowed to get hana from the or of a mace, but that's not going to deter people from using the oros aviyam v'imam as shtichel l'chamar. What will deter them? Tumah. So the Rabbanan goes there, Tumah. That's answer number one. Answer number two of Tosos. Va'od nira da'or eino b'chlal basal li'asar ba'ana. The Isra Na of a mace does not include R. The Ha Egla Arufa Nami Lonafka Lemidxiv Ba Kapara Kachim, Va Ar Kachim Mutarim Ba Na Alach Azrika Shuzman Kapara. We need a special drasha to tell me that the R of an Egla Arufa is Asr Ba Na, and Ar Kachim is, the Egla Arufa also we only learn because it says Kapara Kachim, and the Alacha is the Isra Na of an Egla Arufa, I should say. We only learn from the comparison to Kachim, and Or of Kachim is Mutar Ba'ana. So could be that Or Adam, there is no Isra Na on Or Adam. And now I can understand why I need a separate drasha by Shara Niskal to tell me that Hana Asaro is Asir. I can't learn it from the regular that it's Kachim, because by Or of Kachim is Mutabana. Maybe Or of Adam is not included in the Isra Na of Adam. What you see over here is a fundamental machlokas between two Deus and Tosfos. Is Or Adam included in the Isra Na? Is it Asar Ba'ana or is it not Asar Ba'ana? So says the all the achronim that you see it's a machlokas in Tosfos. What the status of Or Adam is. So what do all the Rishonim say? The Rosh, the Ritva, the Ramban, they all paskin like the first teretz of Tosfos. Or Hameis is Asr Bahana. It is not Mutar Bahana. Chassam Sofer asks, wait a second. According to the first teretz of Tosfos, I understand that Tuma was more chamor to people, and therefore they had to make this Isr Drabanan. According to the second teretz, that it sounds like that they were worried about Isr. People were worried about Isr, and that's why but there just was no Isr already governing using the Or of your mother and father, and that's why they had to make this Gezerah of Tuma. Well, wait a second, there's no other Isr. The only Isr is Hanam and Ames. Chassam Sofer says, I could think of a couple. Why do they have to make a Gezerah of Tuma? It's Asr min HaTorah because Lo Salin Nivlaso. That so long as you're not burying it, there's a mitzvah kvura, you're in violation of Lo Salin Nivlaso. And even if you want to say Or is not included in Lo Salin Nivlaso, Nivla Mace it is. To skin a dead body is at least a violation of Nivla Mace. So if they are concerned about Halacha, and it's not just Tuma that they're scared of, like the second day in Tosfos, so why do they need this Gezerah? There are plenty of other Surim that are associated with skinning a dead body. So Chassam Sofer says, and maybe you could say that when you skin the dead body, you're not doing it to be a menavel the mace. They were doing it as a kavod for the mace, that they wanted to keep the or as a zikaro maharbos ha'evel, as a way of increasing the sense of avelus over the dead body. And that leads beautifully into the other point we have to make over here, and that is the Radvaz was asked the following question in Shuvas HaRadvaz Chelek Aleph Siman Reish Samach Beis. He says, really, this is something we need to make a gzeira about, that people are going to take Or Ava V'Imo and turn it into a cloth for a donkey. So he says, it's a milsa delo shchicha that any human being would do that. Forget about B'nai Yisrael. Afilu Obdei Kochavim are not knowing to do this with Oros Avim V'Imam. Who does this? This is subhuman behavior. And the Radvaz also asks that someone who's not choshesh for the Kavod Av V'Aim, to the extent that he's willing to make a cloth for his donkey, so he's going to be worried about the Gzeirah Rabbanon of Tuma. He's so not concerned about Halacha, obviously. This is a blatant violation of Kibra Veim. So the Ramban writes that even though by other Mason there's an Isser, because they're Asr Ba'ana, we dafka highlight Avi V'Imo, which, I mean, the Ramban raises the third question, which is, why only Avi V'Imo? Why are we only worried you're going to do this with your father and mother's body? Why aren't you worried you're going to do this with somebody else's body? So I would have said, because you're in control of your father and mother's body. It's your mitzvah of kura, and you're the one. But so who's going to let you do it with somebody else's body? But the Ramban says different. The Ramban says, no, originally, when they're going to skin the bodies, the concern is they're going to do it out of love. They're going to do it to create a memorial and to increase the avelus. And that's and the gzeira is that you best not do that, lest you come over time to stop using it as a memorial and as a kavod, and you'll come to use it as something else, as something as tashmish shel bizayon. So ask the Radvaz, if that's the case, then we should have said shemi yasa adam or bino yichido shetuach. Meaning, if the Ramban's whole point is that it's someone that you're so close to and you're so connected to that you're going to want to make this ikaron and the avel. So if anything, it's upon the loss of a child that you would want to do that. More so because that's where a person is real, even much more brokenhearted than when they lose a parent. When Rahman al-Islam, a person loses a child. That's what the concern should have been. So is that the strongest kash in the world? It could be that upon the loss of a child, there's no concern that ultimately you're going to turn it into the merdas l'chamar. And the parent, after a while, because you're not as much be'evel, it could also be much more common to lose a parent than to lose a child. The gzeira, you're going to make on something that's a milsa shchiach, not on a milsa delo shchiach. The point is well taken, that the tsar is far greater upon the loss of a child. I think they tell the Maisa that when Rav Soloveitchik went to be Menachem Avel, I think it was Rav Shner Cutler lost a child, and Rav Soloveitchik went to be Menachem Avel at the same time together with Rabbi Teitz, and I forget who else, maybe Rav Hutner. There were three Gedolei Rabbanim that were there at the same time, and they were and Rav Shner asked in the Kasha, why is it that you have Yud Beis Chodesh for Aviv Imo and you only have Shloshim for a child? You would think that the Avelus of a child would be much, much worse. I forget what the different Terutzim were. The obvious Terutz is that it's a Din Kibbut Aveim. That's what Rav Moshe writes, that it's a Din Kavod. That's why you have Yud Beis Chodesh. That's why Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that if a woman, let's say, her husband's being honored at a dinner and she's in her year of Avelus, that she can go for the Kavod of her husband, because a woman doesn't have to worry about Kibbut Aveim when it's going to be Mafria, the Kavod of the husband. But it's all the din of Kibbut Aveim. But there were other terutzim that were given as well. That it's a din in the Masora, or whatever. Other terutzim that were given as well. But the point is well taken. That it's certainly a greater tzad. So the Radvaz says a totally different pshat. The Radvaz says the point is that people would use these oros and or adam works for the sake of kishuv. And he goes through giving different gemaras, chulin kuf chav gimel, that they would take different skins and it would help the milchama. And he says legabe kishuv, it helps. When you use parents, when you use those that are closest to you, particularly those that you come from, those that you were created from, and therefore the parents is the one that we're most concerned about. So they're going to use it not as a bizayon, and even using it on the chamar is to protect you. It's to you would think the parent will be happy to have his skin used to be able to protect the children. So that's the concern over here. That it's not that it's going to be this terrible bizayon. It's that you have to transport yourself back into the mentality of medieval times and what they believed in and the type of kishuv that they were worried about and this kind of thing. So that was the concern. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, there's another version of this entire discussion. V'igada Amri, the other version of the discussion is, Harei Or De'en Gizel Machlif, that Or is something that does not regenerate itself. Meaning the first version was, Or is a classic example of something that does regenerate itself, and therefore the question was, well, if it regenerates itself, why is it Tameh? The Igada Amri says, no, we're starting off, the starting point is the exact opposite. Starting point is, Or is Ein Gizel Machlif. And the Mishnah says that the Chum say that it's possible. And even a mayor who only says kosher only because the basar itself could harden and you could survive. But the olamein gives a machlif, but the or is never going to grow back. Vamru ledvar Torah or Adam Tahar. And yet, midal raisa, we know that Ula says, or Adam is tar. So the kash is the reverse. I mean, before we use Ula as the teretz, now we're saying, no, we know Ula already, and that's the kasha. Why is it that midal raisa, or Adam is tahar, if we know or never grows back? So it fits both criteria. It's something that you're born with, and it never grows back. So kiyin mardu Ula a seife. No, Ula's statement was said in regard to the seife. V'kulin she'ibdan o'shilach ben k'dei avod tahar n'chutz mi'ar Adam. Any or that you are ma'abed, you tan the or, you walk on it, so enough to be ma'abed it's going to be Torah, except for or Adam. V'amru l'dvar Torah or Adam ki ibdo tahar. No, when is our adam going to be tahar? Only if you're ma'abe the oros. So matam amrutame. Why do we say that even after you're ma'abe the oros, it's still going to be tame? But an or that was never nevad, of course, is going to be tame. Gezeira shamiyas adam arav v'mashtichem. That's where Ula was concerned that you might make it shtichel lechamar. But typically speaking, regular or is tame. Why is it tame? Because a person is born with it, and it's ein gizel machlif. So the Achronim deal with the obvious question over here, that typically speaking, we don't have machlokasim in Metzius, in Chazal. We try to avoid it at all costs. We don't want to say, yeah, machlokas in the Gemara is a machlokas of facts, especially when it's clearly observable facts, where they could just check it out, does it or does it not grow back. So the Aruch Lenar raises this kasha. The first Lashon says, starts with the assumption and sticks with the assumption that or is gizel machlif, that it does grow back. The second Lashon the Gemara assumes, or is not gizel machlif. So my high, how could they be arguing in the machlokas in Metzius? So the Aruch Lenar has a few suggestions. I'll just mention one or two of them. One of them is he says that it's pashut to both Lashonos that or is gizel machlif. But the question is, when it's gizel machlif, it never grows back quite the same way. It grows back, but it always leaves some scabbing. It never is fully quite the same way. So the halacha is that called gizel machlif? Does gizel machlif have to be like hair, where when you get a haircut, it grows back just the same way it was before, like fingernails that grow back the same way they were before? Is that the definition of gizel machlif? Or maybe anything that regenerates itself, whether it grows back the same or doesn't grow back the same, that's called gizel machlif. So it's a machlokas in halacha. Most machlokas in Metzius, you could turn into a machlokas in halacha in that way, by saying, yeah, everyone agrees, it's somewhere in between A and B. The question is, we know the Metzius is in between A and B, halachically is it A, or halachically is it B? The other possibility the Aruch Lenar suggests, based on what the Tashbetz writes, that if or is skin, the ein gizel machlif, but if that's only if you skin the body entirely. But if you skin only miktsas min or, then it is gizel machlif. So that's the question. The first lashon holds that or is considered gizel machlif, since as long as you don't skin the entire body, it's going to be gizel machlif. Second lashon holds you can't call it gizel machlif because if you take off all the skin, it does not regenerate itself, meaning you do need some skin there in order for it to grow back and to regenerate itself. Once you cut it all off, it's not going to be able to regenerate itself. Good. So that is the second approach of the Aruch Lenar. Okay. Let's see the Gemara Vayter now. So it says Gemara, Vare Basar, again questioning these rules that as long as a baby's born with it and as long as it doesn't grow back when cut off, it's going to be Metame. Vare Basar, Degizel Machlif Etame. Basar doesn't fit both of those criteria. Basar does grow back, and yet we do find that it's Tame, Beferish in our Mishnah. So Amar Baravashi, Basar Nasa Mekomot Salakas. Basar is not really Gizel Machlif, it scabs. It definitely doesn't grow back to the same way that it grew back, that it was originally. And therefore, it's not called gizel machlif. Avala zov. The Mishnah went on to say zov, nia, rog, sheretz, nevela, shitfazar. All of these things are metame only when they're moist, not when they are dry. Zov minalan. How do I know this is true about zov? D'tanya zov otame limin al zov shu tame. We learn that a zov is tame, that the actual flow of ziva is tame. Velodinu. Isn't that kal v'chomer? Why do I need a pasuk? La'cherim gorim tumalatzmal kolishkein. If the zov is able to be metame the person, then of course it should be able to itself, of course it itself should be considered Tameh. And so the Gemara not so clear that that's a good Raya, that that's a good Kal V'chomer, because Seir Mishtaleach Yuchiach, look at the Seir La'azazel, it's Shagorim Tumalacherim, it's Metameh others, but V'huatz Motar, the Kohen that throws it off the cliff, he becomes Tameh, but the Seir Mishtaleach itself, a live animal, is Tar, there's no such Tumah on a live animal. So Afatal Tatama Alzeh, so you shouldn't worry, you shouldn't wonder about the possibility of Zov being tahar, even though it's able to be metame the zav, absent any drusha to the contrary, I would have thought the same would be true of zov, that even though it's gorim tuma to the man, but it itself is tar. So that's why I need a pasuk. That's why it teaches me. I have a pasuk to teach me that zov itself is tame. Asks Tosos, couldn't we have given another raya? Damanida should teach us this. Forget about Seir Mishaleach. That Seir Mishaleach is metame something else, even though it itself isn't isn't tame. Dama nida is metame the woman to cause a mishkav moshav, and yet dama nida itself cannot make a mishkav moshav. That was yesterday's daf, right? So don't you see that the tumah that it causes is greater than the tumah that it has? Says Tosos, tumah that it causes is yes greater than the tumah that it has, but it is not the same. But it is not tahar. Meaning the uniqueness of the Seir Mishaleach is that it causes tumah, and it itself is 100% tahar. Not just that it's a lower level of tumah. So Seir Mishaleach is a much, much better raya. So anyway, says Gemara Vayter, two lines from the bottom. Ve'ema hanimili b'magav v'mamasa lo midedav asheretz. Maybe it's only metame b'magav, but it should not be metame b'masa. Just like sheretz is metame b'magav, not metame b'masa. So I'm Rabbi Barabai b'magav lo istrukhra. To tell me that zov is metame b'magav, I don't need a pasuk. To lo gara mishuk v'zera, because shuk v'zera is metame b'magav. Ki istrukhra l'masa. I only need a pasuk to tell me that it's metame b'masa. So if there's a pasuk, it must be teaching me about masa. Otherwise, I would have learned it from Shikva Zera. Ve'ema b'masa metame adam u'begadim b'maga adam metame begadim lo l'tame mididava maga nevela. But still, maybe I should say b'masa it's able to be metame adam and begadim. B'maga maybe it's only able to be metame adam but not begadim. Just like a nevela is metame adam not begadim when it comes to Maga, so lo salkadai t'tanya achirimom, ma'zava zavo l'zachul l'nekeva. We learn, Pasuk says, ha'zava zavo l'zachul l'nekeva, makish zavo lo, where we compare the zov to the zav, ma'hu lo chilakta ben maga'ul l'masol, l'tami adam l'tami b'gadim. Just like by the zav himself, what he's able to be metame through masa is the same level as what he's able to be metame through maga, or better said, what he's able to be metame through maga is the same as what he's able to be metame through masa. So if masa is able to be metame adam l'tami b'gadim, then maga also the tamei adam tamei b'gadim. Avzovokain, so too the actual flow of ziva should have the same halacha, that if through masa it's able to be tamei adam tamei b'gadim, through maga it's also able to be tamei adam tamei b'gadim. So says Gemara, great, now you just have a new pasuk that from where I learned the entire tuma of the zov. V'hashad denafkala me'azov ezovo zovo tamei lamali. What do I need the first pasuk to tell me that zov is tamei? So I'm ravido midas karte itzrich. No, I need the first pasuk because because I still would have used the Seir Mishaleach to tell me that just because it's Garim Tum and something else doesn't mean that it itself is Tameh. And if I only had Azav Ezovo, I would have said, no, Azav Ezovo is coming to teach me how many times he has to see a flow in order to become Tameh, and what the conditions of such a flow have to be. That Zov Chad Zovo Tarte Ubishlishi Akshe Rachman Alinakeh. That we mentioned earlier in the Masechta that there are different halachos between a man and a woman in regards to Re'iya Ziva Ba'ones. If something brings about the Re'iya, that a din of a Zachar is that he's not Metame Ba'ones, and the Keva is Metame Ba'ones. But even by a Zachar, it's only on the first two Re'iyos that he's not Metame Ba'ones. The third Re'iya, even if it happens Ba'ones, is going to be enough to be Mechayiv and Mekarban. By the third one, we're Makishim L'Nekeva. We say he has the same din of a Nekeva. So that's why, because I would have used the whole pasuk for that drasha, kas rachman azovo tame. That's why I need the first pasuk. Vasha dam rachman azovo tame, who drosh be nami hai. Once it says zovo tame, and I see that the zov is tame, so not only do I get from this second pasuk that on the third time we're makishim l'nekeva, I also am able to learn that he's able to be metame the same way with maga that he is able to be metame with masa. Vayter in the Mishnah we said varok, we said saliva is tame lach and not metame yavesh. So says the Gemara rok minalan. How do I know that saliva is metame lach and not yavesh? Tani v'chi yarok yachlaf pishlonaga. I might think even if you don't touch it, even if it just comes in proximity, tamalomer bitar ad sheyiga bitar tells me it has to actually touch someone tar in order to be metame. Ein li alaroko kicha v'niyo me'a. So I only know that the roke of a zav is metame. How do I know that the kich of a neo, different types of phlegm, machlokas rashi tosos, a couple of places in shas, what exactly it means? Not going to get into it now. Mea af or mucus from the nose. How do I know that all of these things from a zav is also metame? Tamalomer v'chi yirok. Amar mar yachlav plishlo naga. So at one point we said just two lines ago that I might think that roke of a zav is able to be metame a person even if it never touches the person. Mehechatei Kesi? Why would I think it's able to be Metame a person if it doesn't touch a person? What if I look at it? What's it going to be Metame? So Salta Deir Chamil Nelef Rok Mi Yavama. I might have learned Rok from Yavama. That Mahas Mafpid Lo Naga Afachanami Delo Naga. When a Yavama does Chalitza and she spits by the shoe, she doesn't have to make contact with the spit. It just has to be Samuch. So I might think so that any din of spit, it only has to be Samuch. It doesn't have to make contact. Kamashvulan. Therefore, it tells me otherwise. But maybe still, Rok is only Mitami B'maga, but it's not Mitami B'masa. After all, Sheretz is only Mitami B'maga and not Mitami B'masa. Even if the Rok only touches something that the Torah person is holding, it's able to be Mitami him. It never touched the Torah person. It touches the bag that he's holding. So he's holding it, so he's now carrying the Rok, and that's enough to be Mitami him.
Same question we had before. Maybe b'masa it has the severe level of tumah l'tamei adam l'tamei begadim. B'maga it should be like nevela. It's not l'tamei adam l'tamei begadim. Amar Reish Lakish v'chein tam d'berei b'shmal amakra b'tahar. Tarish etiarti lach magamacher t'vesi lach kan comes to tell me that something that we're metaher elsewhere we're metame here. Ve'iza ze maga nevela. Maga nevela which we might be metar begadim by maga nevela we're going to be metame over here when it comes to maga of rok. The ema, but let's say b'masa de sheretz, maybe the that which we when we say that which we're metire somewhere else from metame here is referring to masa of a sheretz. There's no tumas masa by a sheretz. There is tumas masa over here. Maybe that's the whole limud. Imke nichtov kra be'adam. My bitar shema min atarti. The fact that it says bitar and not ba'adam tells me you can make both drushes. First of all, it is subject to tumas masa unlike a sheretz, and it's able to be metame begadim through masa unlike. Through maga, rather, unlike a nevela. Umei ha'af, and the mucus from the nose. My mei ha'af, what exactly is mei ha'af? Omarav b'negror in derech ha'peh. Mei ha'af is only talking about if it comes out through the mouth, if you're able to pull it up through your throat. L'fi shi'ef shal mei ha'af lo tzuchei erok. And the whole reason that it's tamei from the zav is because there's saliva in it. There's no way you're going to get mei ha'af through the mouth without saliva. But it's really only saliva that's metame. Rabbi Yochanan omarav filu b'negror in derech chotem. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even if it comes out of the nose, it's still going to be metame. So alma kasavra mayin hu v'rachman arav. So Rabbi Yochanan obviously holds that it's a mayan, and the Torah considers it one of the mayanos of a zav. It's going to be metame. V'rav nachshunami dimoseino. So why doesn't Rav say tears also should be metame? Damarav hayman debay lismeleine lichol me'avichavim. If a person ever wants to become blind, Rav says, let him take the eye ointment from a guy who will probably poison it and try to kill him. V'levi amar hayman debay delemos lichol me'avichavim. And Levi says, forget about blinding yourself. If you want to die, you should take the eye ointment from an Ovid Chavim. Why is Rav not concerned you're going to die from it? He's only concerned you're going to be blinded from it. There it is. Since you're able to be gorer, the tears out through the mouth. So apparently, you could tears can come out through the mouth. So if Rav says the whole reason Meya Af is Tameh is because it's going to come out through the mouth and it's going to have Rok in it also. So shouldn't say the same thing about the tears. And so Gemara, no, Rav Nihi Dezira Nafik Demasa Gufa Lo Nafik. No, you'll be able to get the poison that was put into your eye out Derech HaPeh. You're not going to be able to get the actual tears out Derech HaPeh. That's not going to come out so easily. Ar Sameach has an unbelievable kasha. There is a Mordechai in Maseches Chul in Perek Yud, Tavshin Lamed Zayin. Oz Tavshin Lamed Zayin. The Mordechai says that the reason Shichva Zera of Azav is Metameh is because She'ef Shalah, the Gemara says, She'ef Shalah Lo Tzuchtuche Ziva. That Shichva Zera of Azav has to have some Ziva mixed in with it. Wait a second. Little bits of Ziva mixed in with a lot of Shichva Zera. Whatever happened to Bittel? Why don't we say that it's Batel Barov? So he says, because Tchilas Briyaso is Mu'urav. That the Ziva and the Shichva Zera, Mitchilas Briyaso, they're connected to each other. They're mixed with each other. And there's no din of Bittel unless they were originally individual units. They each had their own identity. And then the Miut fell into the Rov. A drop of milk falls into chicken soup. But Mitchilas Briyaso is made that way? There's not going to be a din of bittel. Frek the Ar Sameach, unbelievable. Mishkav Moshe Perek Aleph Halacha Tazayin. If that's the case, Meya Af that comes out first from the nose without any roke, and it is only later Nigrar Derech HaPeh with a little bit of roke with it, and it gets mixed up with Tzichtzuchei Roke. why don't we say that the roke is batal in the meya af? Why is it that a rav says negrar in derech hapeh because ef shal the meya af below tzuchtzuche roke? The roke should be batal in the meya af. They were originally two separate entities. So says unbelievable. Says Yar Sameach, rav l'shitaso. Rav holds min b'mino. Eino batel, like Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that when you have two things of like kinds, they do not become batel. Rok and Mea Af are considered min bimino, and that's why it's not going to be batel. Okay, I guess we'll stop there and we'll continue from there tomorrow.